Time for a Monday morning house call from Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Dr. Most, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm confused about testing. Can we start with questions about that?
Absolutely.
There's one story today, headline, uncounted millions had COVID-19 symptoms, but no positive test. And I keep hearing about the accuracy of the different tests. Can you give us a little lesson in the different tests and how accurate they are or aren't?
Sure. You have to remember, and everyone knows this, but this disease has only been around for 6 months. So when we started doing these testing, the tests were actually not made by commercial companies. They were actually made by large academic institutions. Matter of fact, Northwestern was one of the early ones that developed a test. When we developed that test, we could do 45 tests a day. So you can imagine the supply and the demand need right there. So we weren't able to do tests on everyone. So a lot of people, we said, hey, if you have symptoms, we're going to presume you're positive because we need to save some of those tests. Eventually, commercial labs got in, and I say eventually, even though thinking how short this time frame is, and initially some of those tests were kind of fanned. They said, hey, wait a second, this test is not accurate at all, when in fact, if it was done properly, it was very accurate. And now they've improved it even more. I mean, even here at Central DuPage, we have the Panther Pro platform. We can do 3,000 tests a night that are very accurate. The big thing is the specimen must be collected properly and handled properly. So that's the test to say, do you have COVID now? Biggest thing we're seeing right now, Bob, and the biggest problem we're seeing right now is the commercial labs are so overwhelmed. We heard of individuals who had gone to a CVS and had gotten the test but didn't get results back for 2 weeks. Hmm. Well, once you hit that 7 to 14 day kind of range, the results of the tests are worthless. You know, we need to know soon so we can isolate that person. So we've changed the testing, too. I mean, if you look and you've seen people who have had it or talked to people who have had it, they say it's a very uncomfortable test. They stick this thing through your nose way into the back of your throat and how uncomfortable it is. And now we have tests we can just swab the mouth. So it's much more comfortable and easier for people to get it done, which we hope will encourage people to get the test done. But the accuracy is definitely, both the sensitivity and specificity both have increased dramatically since we started this, 4 months ago.
So if I get tested and, whether it's positive or negative, when should I be tested again? How long do you wait between tests? How often should people get tested?
Well, that's going to be the million-dollar question, right, is can we ever get to a point where we can volume test as big as numbers as we're going to need? Take, for instance, schools. Would we ever get to a point where we could test every child going into school every day or every third day? Individuals who test positive should probably wait another 7 to 10 days, even 14 days to check, because they should be self-isolating and self-quarantined during that time anyways. Their symptoms should be gone, and then they should be retested.
And who should be tested now?
Well, right now, we'd really like to see as many people be tested as positive, because our goal is still to identify these asymptomatic carriers that are spreading the illness. So anybody who certainly has symptoms should certainly be tested, but we're also going to presume that you're positive regardless of the results of the test, just because we need to control this. But right now, anybody who has been exposed to anybody, anybody who is going to be out in the public a lot, anybody who's working in tight quarters with other individuals where they haven't been able to physically distance, all those individuals need to be tested on a somewhat regular basis, I would say now.
Do you think increased testing is the solution to this pandemic? Is testing the key to getting us out of this here?
Yeah. I mean, testing is definitely the key. You know, the individual who has symptoms and we've identified them and we isolate them, okay, great. That's the easy one. The individuals that we know are the ones of concern are those asymptomatic who are walking around and spreading because we haven't tested them. They had no reason to be tested. They've actually been told that they can't be tested. Those are all changing now that we have more capacity. But again, the biggest thing is going to be the turnaround time. If I'm going to go out and get tested, even though I'm asymptomatic, I'm not going to change the way I'm living my life, but I would if I got my test back in 2 days and said I was positive.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm getting it back 14 days later and say, oh, by the way, you were positive, I've already missed my window of opportunity to not expose anyone else.
Did I hear something about a saliva test? Is that something that's happening?
Yep, it is. U of I is doing it actually right now, and I think you'll see it rolled out pretty much widespread quickly here. If you think about what we're trying to do in the virus we're concerned about when we talk, when we sing, when we yell, that that's where the virus is coming out, and we're testing the back of the throat with the nasopharyngeal swab right now, the saliva and actually the inner lining of the mouth has been shown to be positive as well. So now there is a new platform where it's a simple saliva swab, and boy, it's a lot more convenient and a lot less uncomfortable, I'll say, for the collection of the specimen.
Then we have a whole other set of tests, the antibody tests. Can you explain that?
Yeah. So the antibody test is one that those individuals who thought they had the illness, this is the home run test for them. And I say home run, but now I'm starting to say triple and maybe even a double, because as we're finding out, these antibodies are waning a little bit. So the antibody test is going to look, and it's going to be a blood test instead of a pharyngeal swab. And it, what we're going to do with that is we are going to look to see if you have antibodies to the illness. If you were never exposed to the illness, you would never make antibodies. But if you were exposed to the illness, had the illness, even had it asymptomatically, the body's going to make antibodies for it, and we're going to find those in your blood. The reason I say home run, maybe now a double, is we really hope that these antibodies would have lasted for long periods of time. That would have been very encouraging from a vaccine point of view. But unfortunately, we're seeing that they certainly go up initially when you have the illness and immediately thereafter, but then they start to wane as we go on and we get further away from when you had the illness. And that's the biggest concern right now.
Since I've done so many interviews on this, I'm now a junior medical intern, and let me know if I've got this right, Doc. There are B cells and C cells, and the B cells would block the virus, and the C cells give you your immunity, and then wouldn't the test have to look at both of those things?
Well, it's pretty close, and it's B and T instead of B and C.
Oh, but, sorry, I flunked.
Yeah, well, you might have just gone back to your grades that you got in school. So, so you're absolutely right. So right now, the test that everyone is getting, for the most part, is just a positive-negative. In other words, you have antibodies or you don't. Those are simple tests. They're easy to do. The other test we really need to do is the quantitative and qualitative. In other words, how much of IgG, IgM, how much of T cells, how much of B cells do you have versus you have them present? That's what you're seeing when we're doing these vaccine studies and the individuals are having their blood drawn, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month after they've gotten the vaccine. They're not only looking for, is there antibody present? They're looking for things called neutralizing antibodies, the antibodies that will actually stop the virus from replicating in your body. And those are going to be the key numbers that we're looking to see.
Got it. B cells and T cells. All right. Talking with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Central DuPage Hospital. Doc, one more question on immunity. Is there any evidence, conclusive evidence now, that the sicker you get with the virus, the more immunity you would have? And if you're not so sick or you're asymptomatic, then you don't have much immunity going forward?
Yeah, so those are two of the questions that we really don't have a great answer on just because the volume of people that have had it are so low. But we are finding that those who are ill and survived have a pretty good immune response initially. So the asymptomatics, we're finding those almost anecdotally well after they've had they would have had the illness. So the individuals that we know when they had the illness, we certainly know what their immune response is. The asymptomatic ones, we don't know when they had the illness. We just know that they were positive. But certainly we would expect that. And that's one of the promising things that came out of the vaccine, actually, study last week showed that the vaccine is actually making a stronger immune response than those who actually had the illness. So that's very promising from the vaccine world.
And do we know yet who would be more likely to spread the disease?
Well, I think you're talking about the study that came out of South Korea, and it's interesting. A lot of the things that we call contact tracing, we've just been overwhelmed in this country. So now you're starting to see countries who have done it and have done it fairly well to start to get us some more good data. So in South Korea, they took 5,700 people that were positive and did contact tracing and went back and contact traced 60,000 people. Of those 60,000, they found that the highest percentage of those that were actually had spread the disease were in the households, which makes sense. In your house, you take off your mask. You don't physically distance because that's, quote unquote, your herd. Well, they certainly have proven that that is true. And the major spreaders in those homes were those individuals 10 to 19 years old, which is exactly what we're seeing right now here. Teens to 30 are going to be our big spreaders right now. The encouraging thing was that the lowest number of spreaders was those individuals who are newborn up to the age of 9. So as we're starting to consider, should we open schools, this is, again, one of the encouraging things, that we wouldn't have this data unless we shared data worldwide. So it's really important that we start to look at some of these data points that we haven't had the ability to collect at this time.
Any evidence pointing to the fact that people who are sicker with the virus are more likely to spread it than those who are asymptomatic?
Absolutely. We know that. We know that those individuals, those first couple of days, they're shedding way more virus than individuals who are asymptomatic. So, and that makes sense, right? Because if I'm asymptomatic, the only way I'm spreading it is if I'm talking or I'm standing close to you. Where those who are symptomatic are coughing, sneezing, blowing their nose, again, expelling the virus and the viral particles out in a higher volume. So we certainly know that those individuals are the ones that we should be the most concerned about.
As you know, the director of the CDC said that the pandemic could be brought under control over the next 4 to 8 weeks if we could get everybody to wear a mask right now. Do you agree with that?
I do. You know, if you look at it and say, if we all wore masks, if we all physically distance, and if we all wash our hands, what we're doing then is essentially making ourselves, you know, this concept of herd immunity, where if the virus can't spread to another individual, then it decreases the ability to continue to spread. So if we all wore masks right now, if we all really just super behaved, we would see numbers come down dramatically. Now, we're still playing catch-up. You have to remember those are lagging indicators. In other words, you know, we see numbers going up across the country. We can tell you that in 2 weeks you're going to see hospitalizations and deaths go up because it lags the initial response of the test. But we certainly could, if we all just buckled down at one time and did this, you certainly would see a dramatic drop here in the next month.
Even if you wear a basic cloth face covering?
Absolutely. So two things there. The covering, like we say, is not really protecting you. It's protecting you a little bit, but it's minimizing you as an asymptomatic person to spread. So if you wear a mask and you don't touch your face, great. And if you wear a mask and you're asymptomatic and we can capture 95% of the virus in your mask, then your chance of spreading it has dropped dramatically. Now, when we say that, that means, are we going to wear masks at home? Are we going to physically distance at home? The Korea study has shown us that, yes, that's a good idea. Even at home, we should be wearing masks and we should be kind of social distancing unless we're willing to take the risk that our pod, our herd here in the household, is going to be positive.
Dr. Kevin Most, thanks as always. Love these Monday morning house calls. We learn a lot, including the difference between B cells and T cells. I got it now. Thanks, Doc.
You got it, Bob. Take
Talk
care.
Talk to you next week.